So hello everybody, and welcome to the millions of people that listen to this every week. I'm John DeSheaton, your host. We're in the Wolf Trap Bar in Tullamore, thanks to my brother Trevor Sheaton. Your very special guest today here on the Blah Blah Comics, Mr. Gavin. Introduce yourself, sir.
Gavin McComiskey, my name, and I'm living in Tullamore, and 35 years of age, married, 3 children.
Wow. You're not here to talk about that, though.
No, I'm not. But I have to mention the kids. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're here for Free Monkey Comics and your first comic.
Yeah.
It's only new, it's only half the press. We have it here, Innocent Tales 101.
Yes.
You very kindly brought a copy in, thank you very much. Rated teen. I was meant to ask you about that. It has an American price.
I suppose when I was originally thinking about writing a comic and putting it together, and you'll see that it has a barcode and stuff like that, I wanted it to, you know, ultimately, I know Innocent Tales certainly isn't going to be a worldwide distribution, but I did want to set myself the standard straight away of saying, well, hang on, if I want to put a comic up on a shelf beside Batman or Superman or Star Wars or whatever it is, it has to hold up, you know what I mean? And I suppose that's why I took the sort of the benchmark from the American system.
Just for anybody who doesn't know, please go pick up a copy, read it first before you listen to this. But there's 3 stories, and they're not really connected per se. And geography wise, they are all over the world almost.
The first one's
kind of America. Maybe not.
A bit of a different world.
A different world. Second one, China.
That direction, Middle East.
The last one, that. Ireland, it could be Ireland, England.
It could be anywhere really. But any urban sort of city, you know what I mean?
And was that a clear choice to make it kind of not just an Irish, like set it in Dublin type thing, make it broad?
The appeal had to be more widespread than just Ireland. There's an exploding Irish comic scene at the moment, and there's a lot of guys, and the more I've got involved with writing, the more I've sort of came across different guys that are putting together their comics and writing, and the scene is getting much bigger, and there's more and more conventions coming next year. And I suppose even saying that, the Irish market in itself is not enough to sustain anyone that wants to, you know, make any sort of return on a comic. So again, the appeal had to be wider than just setting something out. For me anyway.
And how many issues do you have planned? Do you have set?
Innocent Tales 1, as you said, it's out now. It's in Balcony Books here in Tullamore, and it's also in the comic shops in Dublin.
Right.
There's 4 comic shops up there that are stocking it. I've got stocked in Waterstones up in Derry, and also in Comic and Collectibles up in Letterkenny. And it's going into Minute next week.
Hidden Treasures. I know that guy's got his name.
So it's going into them guys.
Brilliant.
And Innocent Tales 2 it's already written by me, and it's the same format. It has 3 short stories. One of the stories is back with, you know, full inks and full colours that has to be lettered, and the other 2 stories are sitting out with 2 different artists. One is called Chris O'Halloran from Cork. He's got a story called The Woodsman, and Anthony O'Neill, who drew Saviour in the first comic.
Right.
He's got the second story called Desperate Measures.
Right.
So he's working on that.
And do you have an idea, like, if you want to do 6, then I'm going to do a trade? Are you taking that far ahead, or are you kind of
just, yeah, I've Innocent Tales 3 planned.
Right.
And again, I have a couple of stories planned for that. I haven't got the scripts done on that yet. Ultimately, if I can make, you know, even break even on the Innocent Tales venture, I definitely would go down with a trade, maybe pick the best 5 or 6 stories out of it, or even put them all together in a full trade. Definitely a trade is something, it's forward around the line, you know.
Good idea, but it's kind of the name, it's the stories are not really that innocent.
No, and I suppose that's, look, when I wrote the stories, I realised that there was a dark sort of slant to them, and you know, there was certainly more serious questions were being asked around, and you'll see that trend develop through in Innocent Tales 2 as well. And it sort of struck me that, you know, they are tales, they're stories, but they're not innocent. So it was an easy choice for me to call it Innocent Tales. Now, in saying that, in Innocent Tales 3, I'm planning a more lighthearted story. One of the scripts is called super spoofs, and it's basically about a crowd of gay superheroes, and but their powers are just not really your everyday fly in the sky type powers. You know, they've got different, unique sort of a bit along the lines of Mystery Men. But you know, not even then, like one of the guys, is his superpower is that he's just always right. Now I know.
Well, that's what most
men can claim that.
Women have that.
Well, that's true. but anyway, his name is like, this guy's always right. Even when he's wrong, he's right. And there'll always be an angle that he can get that he's right. And you know, his name is Right Man.
Yeah.
You know, naturally enough. but look, I suppose it gives me an opportunity to write a more lighthearted story, and also gives me an opportunity to maybe introduce a bit of comedy, more so, less of the dark humor and more of the lighthearted humor. You know,
I would say definitely in the middle story in the book, you know, it's about two kind of months fine. There is an element of humor there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And dark humor at the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. You're going to carry on. You think the next one's going to be kind of the same mix?
The next one has the first story in the next one is called Perceptions, and it's drawn by Rory Coleman. And Rory again is going to be working with me on future projects, and it was coloured as well by Owen Hurl, and it's a story that will sort of it questions each page that you read will question your understanding of what's after happening.
So it
quizzes the perception of the reader, but again it's pretty dark and touches on a lot of I suppose moral questions. And the middle story of that trilogy then is Desperate Measures. It's not as dark. It starts off with a guy sort of getting fired from his job and his wife walking out of him, and sort of hits a low point, but it's not as dark. It takes a nice sort of lighthearted twist toward the end. And the third story in that is The Woodsman. The Woodsman is the project that myself and Rory Coleman will be working on. I'm hoping for a sort of February release date on that. It's going to be a 3-issue miniseries spinning directly out of Innocent Tales, but it'll be standalone 3 issues, 22 pages or 20 pages of The Woodsman.
Yeah.
So I'm setting that up in Innocent Tales too, with a short story for him. That's The Woodsman is a pretty intense character.
Right.
He doesn't, you know, he's not Hawkeye. He can't shoot a fly off a dog's back from 1,000 feet, but he's your ultimate. If you were lost in the forest, this is the guy that you want to find.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A survival expert.
And pure realist as well. Yeah. So, but The Woodsman, again, that story, it has a bit of a twist in it, but readers are going to hit that. That's going to move at 100 miles an hour, that story, and it's going to leave them sort of saying, whoa, I need to get more of this guy, you know? And so that's why we're setting up The Woodsman then as a standalone issue, you know?
Just kind of go back a bit. You kind of mentioned, like, this is your first book. Have you written previously for not comics, but kind of short stories or movies?
No, to be honest, the last stuff that I would have, any writing that I would have done previous to this would have been Leave and Search. You know what I mean? And I'm always interested in the creative side of it and the arts. And I would have played my part in certain musicals in school from Dundalk. I wouldn't have got the lead singing parts, but. I certainly would have done a wee bit of acting in them, and for Bugsy Malone, I wrote the program for it and stuff which was great, and it gave me a flavor for that. But I suppose life took me off in a different direction for a long time, and you're focusing on your job and your family and different things like that.
Keeps you busy.
Exactly, and you know, it was only this year that I really sort of got the bug back in me to say, you know what, Gavin, you have a million ideas going around your head.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting them down, you're not getting them out there, you're always sort of promising yourself that you're going to do something, but you're not really doing anything about it at the moment.
Yeah.
So that's and I don't know if you read my article on the website.
Yeah. Oh, well,
Getting Started.
No, I read the Telemark Tribune piece.
That's
how I got in touch with you.
On the Green Monkey Comics website, which is www.greenmonkeycomics.com.
Ironically enough.
Yeah, which is, you know, handy to remember, but... even for me, and on that website there's an article on that called Getting Started, and I only wrote that maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I suppose one of the guys that sort of has had a sort of big helping hand in what I'm doing at the moment is a guy called Tommy Kelly. And right. Tommy Kelly runs the Irish Comic News website. And as it turns out, he's from Dundalk as well. And, oh, you know, right. Yeah, so it was good to sort of meet up with him. And, you know, Tommy did say to me, even back in the day when I was sort of throwing my ideas at him, that he says, look, you know, think about everything you're doing at the moment. And, you know, if, you know, when you do get your comic out there, maybe could you do me a short article for the website, you know? Right. So it was something that I was always sitting there.
Yeah.
And I literally done that one night. I sat down and said, right, Gavin, what are you asking through in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
And to give you like a brief sort of snapshot of that, I was driving home from a night out, the next morning,
yeah.
Hangover. I wasn't still drunk, hopefully, but I was going home anyway, and a bit of ahead of me, and on the radio, Savage Sunday, is a guy called Will Slaney. Will Slaney is an artist from Marvel Comics. He lives in Cork.
Right.
He was on the Late Late Show a while back. Okay. Pretty much then, every time I turned on the radio, he'd been interviewed. So, but back then when I heard him, he was talking about his job in Marvel, and he was talking about, you know, what he does, and
right.
he works in Fearless Defenders, and he was drawing a page a day roughly for them, and, you know, just going through his job. And I said, you know what? I'm going to write a comic. I'm just going to write a comic. I come home. I said, look, Jill, I'm going to write a comic. She's like, yeah, okay. So
that lovely, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I was like, look, okay, you know, not a great idea.
Put the bins out first before you come.
Well, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure I did put the bins out that night. But so I got in touch with Will. I sent Will an email. I went on to the websites, blogs, different things like that. Got his contact, his email address, sent him an email and said, Will, look, I'm thinking about writing a comic. If this doesn't go to your spam, could you point me in the right direction? And also there's another guy called Stephen Mooney who has a book out at the moment called Half Past Danger from IDW.
Well, yeah, I heard about it. You got the reports for that.
Yeah, no, and it's great.
He's on Bleed Being Cool website. That's where he was mentioned on that.
Oh, he would have, certainly, yeah. And, again, that book's out at the moment. I think it's coming up to its final issue. And, you know, that's a good right. book if you get a chance to get a hold of that one. So the two guys got an email, nearly identical email, but they got it. And in fairness, the two lads got back to me and they said, look, great to hear from you. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, talk to this person, talk to that person, boom, boom, right? And, and go and do it. And so I started talking to more people. Rob Corley from Sub City was the next guy on the list.
Who looks like Grant Morrison, anybody wants to ever walk into Sub City.
Absolutely. And then... And then the next guy, Darren O'Toole, who's doing a bit of writing as well, and he was, you know, he literally came on the scene last year, and he's been going through sort of the journey that I'm going through, but, you know, he's, you know, further on in his development of comic writing than I am at the moment. And, you know, again, Darren gave me a great email back with a lot of detailed advice of what to do. So I literally just started doing what the guy said.
Yeah.
I got in touch with an artist. The first artist I got in touch with was Anthony O'Neill.
Right.
He drew the Savior story.
Yeah.
Anthony liked the script that I was after writing. That was the first script I wrote since I was like, you know, 18.
And just kind of, just not to be out there, but did you struggle with or the issue of formatting like a comic book in terms of, you know, my understanding of writing a comic book, I haven't written one, but what I kind of seen out behind this. You know, and they're prepping on the back, getting like a demo strip.
Yeah.
It would be kind of like, you know, panel one, both of us, whoever.
And absolutely.
Then, so is that was the structure you went for? Did you understand that? Did you have any trouble
with
kind of
the style? I've been reading comics a long time.
Yeah.
I have more comics at home than is good for anybody to have.
And
I suppose I have that understanding of what a comic. How it flows.
Yeah.
Now I have an understanding of it. Whether I can get it across is another thing.
No, yeah, I read the first book I read. I don't think there's any kind of sense of this is the first book you've written. I don't know if you ever read Jonathan Ross's first book.
No.
Jonathan Ross, the TV presenter, comic fan, who wrote a book called Turf.
Right.
It's not bad, but it's clearly like somebody's writing the first story.
Right. Okay.
When you read it, it's like, and it's interesting because obviously it's Jonathan Ross, but it's kind of cool.
It's
a good book, but you're just like, oh, there's like, it's just like, he has brilliant artwork from Tony Lee Edwards. I mean, it's just like, he's just crammed so much dialogue in. Like, it's like, you could have took half that out.
Yeah.
You just overwrote. But I didn't get that sense from your book.
Yeah, and Well, it was funny because at the time I said, right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a story, and the Saviour story was in my head. I stumbled across a writing program called Celt-X.
Right.
Now, Celt-X is a free to download program.
Right.
Now you can buy a premium version which allows you to sort of write from anywhere in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can log on to your scripts and it's all online. But I just took the downloaded the free version. And it will give you movie script layouts.
Right.
It'll give you any other sort of TV, you know, short stories, whatever. But one of them is a comic script. And it's very handy because it will, to a large extent, give you, you know, page one, panel one, and then go into, you know, either a caption or a dialogue or whatever character or, you know, but then when you hit enter a couple of times, it's panel two, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it will start laying out, and you can save it then as a PDF, and the PDF will literally have on the left hand side a description of your panels, and it'll number your page 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and then on the right hand side it'll capture every character and every speech that you put in. So it gives you a good, it gives, when the artist reads it for the first time, it'll give them a good, clear understanding of, okay, there's panel one, and there's the dialogue on panel one, which will help them as well, because one of the things I noticed when Anthony started getting it, some of the early stuff back to me, Anthony laid his panels out very cleverly in the sense that where I had more dialogue, he gave me more room.
Yeah.
So he would make, you know, bigger panels
big
and
panels,
stuff like that, and maybe leave a bit of empty space around the hospital bed for the first, you know, on the first page, things like that, that, you know, which Anthony is a, you know, is an amazing artist, and he has done some, you know, he's at the start of his career as well, but he's done a lot of work before this, and you know, he's got some great acclaim for it, and so Anthony knew what to be doing with what I gave him. Now, my descriptions start off fairly heavy. I suppose that's to get the artist into the field for the whole story. And then, as it gets going, my descriptions will lighten up a wee bit.
Right.
So, because, you know, I'm thinking at this stage that artist has a feel for it.
Yeah.
But one thing I don't overly describe to an artist, because they're the artists, they're the guys that know how things look in their head and know how to get it down, is the sort of panel layout, or is the size of the panels. Unless I have an idea, and I've only done it a couple of times where I've said, well, look, I need one panel like this, or I need two panels like this. Most of the time I let the artist decide where they want the panels, because, you know, I'm focusing on getting the story across and, you know, making sure the reader know, gets into the story that I'm trying to tell, and I believe the artist then is going to do his job and make everything look as good as it
can be.
So, you know, and again, it really involves the artist as well by not being overly descriptive. So
the 3 hours, are you kind of back and forth with them, they kind of mess with you a lot, like, okay, well, page two, you know, can maybe more detail on this, or that's the what work for stuff, are you have that type of contact, or are you getting the kind of pages back?
Yeah, well, what generally happens is the guys will give you sort of rough thumbnails they'll do a rough sketch, very rough, and they'll say, look, this is where I feel things should be, and, you know, pretty much all the time so far I've got thumbnails back, I've said, yeah, look, that's perfect. You will find then, as the story progresses, an artist might feel, well, look, I can move something. And Saviour was originally an 8-page script,
right,
but it's 9 pages in the book, because Anthony felt that the way I described the ending of the book didn't give it full justice.
Yeah.
So he made the last panel on the last page a full page.
Yeah.
You know, and it really,
really
emphasised.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I suppose, because I'm focusing on story and getting the story across,
like
I'm not visually as, I suppose, skilled as the guys, you know?
Well, no, but still, like, that's kind of, I guess, like you said, that's kind of their job in a way.
Mm.
And it's kind of pretty good either way, because I don't know if you know how Alan Moore writes. Like, he's to the letter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, it must be not a lot of fun to work with him.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. He's like 6 pages of description for one panel.
The infamous Marvel style of kind of just like the loose plot, and then you know, somebody goes up and draws, and then the writer comes back and goes, oh, he says hello here.
Exactly,
But kind of go back, like, there's not a huge age gap between us. You're 25 and 29.
Yeah.
But I remember growing up that there wasn't any comics, because I lived in Tenerife my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a couple of the British reprint magazines,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of the panel shops. I remember being a kid and getting DC Sons, with a British reprint magazine, and like it was like Alan Moore something, the Shadow, and they were incredibly violent and dark stories. So I probably shouldn't have been reading, but of course they were comics. So
absolutely.
So I just bought them and said, "Read these."
Yeah.
But did you have a lot of access to comics growing up?
No. You see, what happened was, I remember I was about 12, and there was the X-Men cartoon was on, and
that was deadly. Brilliant, yeah. You know, it still is.
Yeah.
It's still on Netflix.
If you want of course.
And the Spider-Man cartoon, the 90s one, was very good.
Yeah, they're brilliant. So I was watching them, and me and my mate were sort of, you know, getting into the comics, and he sort of stumbled across, I think it might have been Panini or something, one of those guys that done X-Men.
Yeah.
It's sort of larger.
They would be called the British reprint magazine. Yeah, they would go to more magazine format and cheaper.
And I got hooked on that straight away. Right? I said, oh, this is brilliant. And for some reason, I went into the local news agents up in Dundalk. It's long gone now, but Donal, I can't think of his surname, but Donal was there, and he says, oh, I've got this comic in. And he pulled out a Wolverine comic, an American US Wolverine comic.
American dollar signs and American, it was the US
format, yeah. American Wolverine, and I says, give me that quick, and I went home and I devoured it, and I was into him the next day saying, where did you get that? He says, oh, they sent me it down from Dublin,
right?
And I said, well, get more of it. He says, I'll get you that. He says, I think that one's out every month. I'll get you that every month.
Yeah.
And I said, right, great. And then obviously I seen ads in Wolverine for other comics.
This is it, yeah.
And I said, here, can you get me this one, this one, this one? And all of a sudden, then Donald was collecting about maybe 12 or 15 titles.
Yeah.
All Marvel each month for me.
Right.
And I was like, oh, sure, I was eating it up. I was calling it every second day. Anything in there? Yeah, Donald. Because he didn't have them out every Wednesday because he was getting them. I think he might have been getting them like sort of third hand, you know, through a comic shop, sent down to him or something like that. Yeah. But he wasn't getting them directly through Diamond or anything like that, you know. So
he didn't deliver.
No, didn't deliver to him. But he gave me a fix, and then when I went to work in Dublin, I stumbled into Forbidden Planet. And having a look back, like straight away, I got a pull list with those guys. Pulling like 25, 30, up to 40 comics a month of them. You know, and then I started. It was mainly all Marvel. Then I branched out a wee bit into Batman and Superman and stuff like that. And in the last sort of 4 or 5 years now, or maybe a bit longer, I've gotten more into sort of Dynamite, Image, more Indie. IDW, you know, more sort of, they're not restricted by the big sort of corporate Marvel and DC rules and regulations with their characters, you know.
I don't know if you've read any of this new Pitch 2 stuff. It's just horrific.
Yeah, well, you know what? I actually have a lot of it.
Not to try to destroy your chances for working DC.
No, I have a lot of it at home, and you know what? I haven't actually, all of 1 to 52, and they're sitting there. I haven't read them.
Yeah.
They're sitting there ready to read, but
it's just like Chris, Scott Snyder, Greg Capaldi's Batman, and Grant Morrison, Batman Corporate. I think you just forget the rest. Somebody asked me today, about dads. They're like, oh, and you think, like, in 10 years' time, you think this new Phase 2 stuff will work? Anything? Like, 10 years' time, is anybody going to be talking about iVampire?
And
Green Arrow, where they change Green Arrows every 2 issues. And he's 12 years old now, which is kind of just risk. I love the old Green Arrow when he came. I don't know how familiar you are with the character.
I know.
He came back from, Kevin Smith brought him back. I was a Kevin Smith fan. That's kind of more, like yourself, I wouldn't even have that access to the American comics. It would just be now and again, I would get the British reprint. And I would get Spider-Man, because I love the cartoon. And I came in on Clone Saga. And if anybody knows Clone Saga, it's arguably the worst Spider-Man story of all time. It's this crazy long story that went on for years where they couldn't decide if Peter was going to leave and then bring in Ben Reilly. And then Peter was the clone and Ben was the real one. Then they went, no, Peter's the back and forth. But I was reading not every issue,
because
I couldn't get it every month or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was even more, it was confusing if you read every issue and knew what's going on, because they kept changing their minds as they're writing the story, let alone if you're missing issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I still loved it though.
Yeah.
You know, I would read it all again.
Yeah, and he said, and there's more to a comic than just the story as well. Like, there is the visual aspect of it, and like the drawings and the art.
That's what I want to do, was draw, and I used to try to copy the drawings out of the book. And I was an okay drawer, but I kind of stopped after I left school.
Yeah.
And I fell more into the writing.
Mm.
And kind of like yourself, I kind of I didn't move to Dublin, but I kind of got to Dublin every few months to go to a camera shop. I didn't really know what to buy. There's so much stuff, and it's so confusing.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of how I got into Bryn Aron's Kevin Smith role, and I like Kevin Smith movies.
Mm.
And I kind of followed that trend.
Yeah, yeah.
And after Daredevil movie came out, I got into Daredevil, and slowly but surely, I started picking up books.
Yeah.
But, like, I read, like, a lot of the Vertigo stuff. I read the indie stuff and the big two, I guess we can kind of call it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Vertigo stuff over the years. But I kind of find, I don't, maybe you can disagree, maybe it's just I don't have the money at the minute. But it's, I don't. Kind of when I came in, it was like, oh, you gotta read Why the Last Man, you gotta read Sam, you gotta read all these books.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like that on the indie side. Maybe you could disagree with me, I don't know. I don't feel that, like, Scalp's gone now, and that was like a great book. And Constantine's gone now, Vertigo, which is just like the stupidest thing ever, getting rid of that character. Mm. I don't know if you've seen the DC.
No.
They got rid of Constantine in the Vertigo universe.
Yeah.
And they brought him over to the DC universe, and it's like, it's just ridiculous. Like, it's like, when they made RoboCop TV show.
It's just
so bland. It's all like, get away from what the character is.
Mm.
But is it, what's kind of coming out on the independent kind of thing?
Yeah, well, look, I've made this confession already, but like, I didn't know a lot about the sort of independent Irish scene in particular until I started wanting to write a book, and then. Then, you know, all of a sudden I realised there's guys up in Derry called, Uproar Comics that are writing Zombies High.
Right.
There's guys in Ennis called Abandoned Comics, and they're writing, you know, they've got two or three different things out. They had a comic that was number one on iTunes there.
Wow.
On the downloads, I think Black Star was the name of it. And that's Mike Lynch and Martin Green and Anthony, you see, would have done a lot of work for them as well, Anthony O'Neill. So.
Yeah.
You know, and there's the Atomic Diner, then Rob Corley has that end of it. There's there's several other people there. Tommy Kelly does, you know, his own stuff. He writes, draws, letters, does everything himself. And his work is certainly more adult focused.
Yeah.
And again, you know, as Tommy says, like, he's not bound by anything. He's just, you know, he's his own guy. And again, an amazingly talented artist. He does a lot of, and again, a lot of these artists will do a lot of headshots and different things, commissions for people, you know what I mean? Which helps, it certainly helps the artist with their bankroll, you know. But from a writer's point of view, I'm like, oh, here, I'll describe your head for you, you know what I mean? It's not the same as.
Is that working out?
Well, I haven't brought it to the world yet. But it's a slow burner.
I'm not going to make the movie, I just read the script to you.
Give
me €10. I guess that's kind of the problem. What do you... I mean, I would be, kind of fan. I would be on, like, the websites and stuff. I would be on the forums. But I would be kind of, like, to my discredit, it's not that, like, I don't think, it's just I'm not aware of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And is there anything kind of...
Irish Comic News is definitely a good website to get involved with. They plug all the Irish stuff, you know what I mean? And not only that, the plugs, some of the major stuff as well, but it will give you a good idea of what's out there.
Right,
and there's a crew called Lightning Strikes in Dublin, and they're doing anthologies, and they're moving, they've announced that they're moving into sort of digital area as well. Yeah. And like, you know, I think they were telling me that they've worked with like 50 odd people from, you know, artists to letterers to writers, you know what I mean? So, and there's certainly a bigger movement, and there's more and more people getting involved.
Yeah.
There's Celtic Clan by Nigel Flood. There's so many more other stuff that's out there, and it's coming true. You know what I mean? And Dice is great for, and all these conventions are great for people like me. And this is the first convention that I'll be going to where I'm actually selling. Anything.
Dice is on this weekend. Hopefully we'll get this out before.
Yeah, hopefully. Right, hopefully.
It's in Dundrum, Big Bang.
Right outside the Big Bang comic shop there. It's in Dundrum. The shop is set up. There's a big sort of marquee will be set up there.
Some guy called Scott Snyder, Break a Pelly, will be there. I don't know if they are.
Yeah.
There's a very some indie comic called Batman.
Yeah.
I think it sells a few copies.
Yeah. They'll all be looking for autographs from myself, Nigel, and a few other.
Some guy called Thor Cannell, who wrote Doctor Who or something. I don't know. He's going to be here.
And Eric Stevenson, who's the vice president for Image Comics, you know. So
whatever.
he might get his lunch bought from. maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they published some book called The Walk of Dead, you might have heard of it.
So, look, that'll be great. From my point of view, I'm not going to Dice to sort of rub shoulders with those guys.
Right.
You know, now I know there will be other people
yeah.
that are writing that are going to Dice to rub shoulders with them guys. And that's fair enough, because that's they're more advanced in what they're doing than I am.
I also think, from what I understand, I've been on one adventure before. I know you say you haven't gone officially, but have you gone like as a hunter? If you know what I mean.
Just to the last one that was on in Dublin Comic Con, the one up in Swords.
I was there as well.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday.
And it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. Now, I didn't really get too much comic stuff from it.
There was a lot of movies and different things like that. But in saying
that's fine. That's nothing wrong with that.
The small press guys done really well at that one.
Right.
They sold a lot of stuff. And it was actually surprising for them. I know a couple of guys said it to me that they were surprised at the amount of stuff they sold.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Given the nature of
what it was. But obviously, you probably had a lot of people there that weren't aware and might have stumbled across the table and said, oh, look, you know, I'll put this up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good that way. Well, I forget what I was going to say about that. But then we've got Dice coming up, and then it kind of gets good adventures are kind of good. I was going to say something, but I can't remember now. It's like Ryan's going blank. But no, I enjoyed that experience, and I'm hoping to get to Dice. I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Hopefully the money will come through. No, I'm just going to actually, but I've gone completely blank there.
No worries.
But
next year's a massive year for comic cons as well. And there's a bit of debate on at the moment about is Ireland being oversaturated with cons next year. You know, MCM have announced two, one in Belfast and one in Dublin. So that'll be on top of sort of, from the ones I know, you have 2D at the start of the year. You'll certainly have Dice next year. You'll have Dublin Comic Con again next year. And I think is it Archaicon, maybe is another one, and then you'll have the two MCM ones. So all of a sudden, for such a small market, you have huge amount of cons. But in saying that, like Dublin Comic Con catered to more than just a comic fan.
Yeah.
It catered to the Star Wars fan and you know, Alien versus Predator and all this kind.
So that's the end of part one. Thanks for listening. Part two will be up soon. Back with Gavin. More talking about his comic and Irish comics and how to get your comic made. A bit of discussion of some of his favourite writers and great talk about comics. So, hope you enjoyed part one and look forward to part two. And sorry about the bad audio. Thank you.